Moto America fans, it's time for another episode of Off Track with Carruthers and Bice. You'll laugh, you'll cry, and you may even learn something from this unlikely pair and their special guest. The mic is yours, Paul and Sean.
Hello, Moto America fans. We are at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta for kind of the start of really the proper part of our season. We are with we have five classes racing this weekend, but it's the debut of the Steel Commander Superbike Championship and also the first round, points-paying round of the Super Sport Championship as well. And we're here talking with Roger Hayden, actually AMA champion, Super Sport champion.
Yep.
And the voice of Moto America on Live Plus, and you know, he's doing a great job with that. And of course, Paul Carruthers, our communications manager, here, so we're going to rap about this a little bit. And Roger, it's kind of interesting because at first I thought, well, everybody's going to Super Sport. There's nobody in Superbike anymore. But you look at the Superbike list and it's still pretty stout. I mean, you've got the defending champion and you've got some challengers there. What's your assessment of the class this year to start with?
Well, I think it's going to be, I mean, it's really stacked. We, Matthew Schultz goes to Super Sport, but we get Loris Baz. We lose PJ, but JD beat. So still, we lost a couple guys, but we gained them also. And, it's going to be interesting to see because, you know, these guys are tired of watching Jake win and the way he's winning. And so I think everybody's going to be coming in pretty motivated. Cam Beaubier last year before he got hurt was starting to make a push there. And I think he'll be stronger this year going back to a lot of the tracks because he's tested at them. And so, we'll see. And also Josh Herron, there's a lot to unpack with all those riders.
I talked to Cameron earlier today and I thought it was interesting because he said that like he's fired up again. I think at the time on the couch, he had surgery, had some screws taken out that were bothering him. He had some touch-up work done on his knee. Obviously his injuries from pit race healed. But he said he's like excited to race again, where I think he was kind of hit some bad luck last year. I think it kind of took the wind out of his sails a little bit. But now that he's had that really long off season, he's like, can't wait to get going again. And he had a good season of testing, so he seemed pretty happy.
And also, you talk about Cam coming from doing Moto 2. That schedule's brutal.
Yeah, sure.
You know, that's 2 years of almost 20 races, then come in, start having fun again, winning again, and then just like
the rug ripped out from under you.
Yeah, could go right. Really, none of them were really his fault either, besides the one at Brainerd. He crashed by himself. But, you know, really, sometimes that can be good for you, you know? Like, you talk about riders who want to retire, and then the middle of next season, they're itching to come back.
So, right.
You know, I think Cam getting that extra time off was probably good for him and be around the kiddo and the wife a lot.
Yeah, I just think mentally he's a lot better than he was.
So I want to ask you, Roger, about specifically Loris Baz. You know, when he was here a couple of years ago, he didn't know the tracks. So he had a season, and he had some ups and downs. I mean, he was in the gravel here that year. They always say, okay, well, he knows the tracks now. Well, he wasn't here last year, the year before that. So what's that all about with familiarity, even though he hasn't been on the track for a while? I mean, do you think it does help you?
I think it'll help a little bit, just kind of knowing the tricky spots and where he struggled at last time. The bikes are going to be completely different than, you know, a couple years ago when he rode them, but I think kind of gives him a little bit of a starting point going into the first round and where you're not starting from, you know, scratch. Like, you know, for example, here at Road Atlanta, the kink on the back straightaway, I mean, it takes a long time to be able to hold that thing wide open and be comfortable through there. And him being able to have went through that before, I think after a couple laps, he'll get right into it. But it's not easy, even though you haven't been here for a couple of years. The track changes each year, and bikes are different when you come back and tires. So it won't be like going to it the following year, but I think it'll definitely help.
Plus, I think just coming back to a place you've been to, as far as like the hotels and the restaurant and just knowing the general area so everything's not foreign, you know, and you know, at least knowing which way you go, you know, you might have to, it's going to take a little while to just figure it out totally again, but you start off not from scratch.
Right.
So, and also too, he kind of knows what to expect after getting that year here, you know, like the level of the competition is high.
Yeah.
So he kind of, that'll help as well.
And he had some bad injuries last year, but those are all healed up. So.
Right.
Yeah, he had that crazy, you know, dangling his leg, and then it kind of got run over, and that was a tough injury for him to get past. But he doesn't even walk with a limp at all now. You can't even tell there's any issue with him. The other one we want to talk about, of course, is somebody else that was away from the paddock in his back, and Sean Dillon Kelly. I mean, Paul, I mean, the kid was amazing then. You know, he kind of was in the trial by fire, just like Cameron was in Moto 2, and here he's back. So he could do some damage, maybe.
I just talked to him like 5 minutes ago. I said, hey, I'm going to do this preview podcast. Can you make me sound smart? Like, you're going to get smoked. Are you going to be okay? And he goes, no, I'm going to be okay. The test went well. He said his lap times are okay. So he seemed really confident. So I thought that was good because he's one of those guys that, you know, we, like Roger said, we lost some guys, but he was a big gain, I think.
Big gain, yeah. Such a good rider, don't you think, Roger?
Yeah, and we talked about Cam going to Moto 2 and, you know, having some tough years. The same for Sean to go over there. And, you know, when you're not having fun and your results show for it, and I think for him it can be huge to come here and kind of get a fresh start and rebuild. And, you know, we've seen how talented Sean is, but it's going to be – he's going to have some challenges for sure because moving to Superbikes is tough, even though he did Moto 2. The team kind of newer. So I think the first couple rounds might take them a little while to get there. And that's just the way it is for everyone that moves up or, you know, a new team moving into Superbike. And it looks like they're trying to do the right thing, though, getting some really good guys around them. And that's going to help.
Yeah, another one is this is sort of a late entry that we weren't sure what was going to happen with Steve Scheibe's team. But, you know, kind of the last minute, they got Ezra Beaubier to race on that team. And Ezra wasn't sure what he was going to do. But the interesting thing is last year with Stock 1000, I mean, the guy was like,
he won those races.
Well, he was this close to winning the championship, and they got sick at the last round.
Yeah, and he was on a BMW. Admittedly, it was an M1000RR, and, you know, they're still using Steve's bike. I mean, what can you say? It's been around for a long time. Steve,
I think we need to have a car wash and like raise some money and help him buy a new one eventually.
Ezra tested it at Little Tally last week, and he really loved it, and he's pretty excited about being in the Superbike class. I mean, this is his rookie season for that. And Roger, I mean, no better person to ask than you. He and his brother are both racing in the same class. You've done that before. What does that help at all?
I think it can help by just being able to go and ask Cam questions, you know, where he's struggling at or what he does different in one corner. And, you know, when he goes out on the track and he looks back and he sees his little brother behind him, he's going to let him follow him. So that could help. But I think it can help. But also, man, it's I know what he goes through. His brother's been so successful and the pressure that he has, and his brother was winning races all these years and he kind of struggled. And it was so cool last year to see him make that huge step. I think he caught us all by surprise when he came in here at Road Atlanta last year and was so fast. And hopefully he can carry that momentum over to this year. You know, the year didn't end the way he would have liked. Another one at Superbike class is going to be hard. But, you know, riding Stock 1000 will help a little bit. But being able to have your brother and, you know, go over there and ask him questions about lines or whatever, are you using this curb? And I think that can help for sure.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, with you and Tommy, when you raced together, you guys were on the same team at one point, right?
We were teammates,
yes. And did you guys talk a lot back and forth about, I mean, you're also body sizes similar. Cameron and Ezra are nowhere near the same guy. That makes it a little tough, I guess, but.
Yeah, we talked a lot, but, you know, especially when I first got there, because I wasn't a threat to win at that time. So, you know, as I got better and I got faster and I got closer.
He quit talking to you?
I quit asking so many questions because I knew, like, you know, he's not going to want to, you know, keep answering all these questions. But every question I ever had, he still helped and then just shut me off completely. But, yeah, whenever I first got there, he answered all the questions. And even at the end, too, still anything that I wanted, I could always go there. But I also wanted to kind of start carving my own path.
Do your own deal. Yeah. No, that makes sense. You know, we think about some of these other guys. I mean, another one is Benjamin Smith. You know, he's been fast in other classes. He's done some things in Supersport last year. He had a quasi thing going in Superbike. He's all in on Superbike this year. with Flo for Law. He's got a teammate in Bobby Davies, who obviously Benjamin's the lead rider in that class. I mean, you take some of these other guys, everybody is in it to win it for sure. And he's still young and learning. So can you tell us anything about Benjamin Smith?
Yeah. And I think he showed a lot of speed in super sport, was a podium guy and was really kind of making huge strides and then, kind of tapered off a little bit. And then when he went to Stock 1000, him started with one team and then, things kind of happened. And I think last year he started showing some consistency again. And, it's really hard to when you move up to the 1000 because it is so different. There's no way, you can tell someone how much harder a 1000 is to ride. But until you're out there, there's only one way to really experience that and is get seat time. And I think that's what he needs most is just continue to get seat time on the bigger bike.
Paul, one of the things I'm going to ask you this, even though Roger would be intimate knowledge of this, is JD. Well, you do too. I mean, JD. I mean, last year, the progression, it was amazing how what he did, and he ended up winning that race at last. And we know how good a rider he is, and he acclimated back to road racing pretty quickly, and now he's had an off season. So, on a great bike with Cameron Beaubier as his teammate, and that's, he could do some things too.
I think with him, he just wanted it so bad.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's almost like they want it too bad and they can't fulfill it. But
right.
He like wanted it just enough, and he had those good results at the end of the year, and he earned himself this superbike ride, and he's pumped about it. I mean, I saw him today, and he's like, oh, I get to stay clean all weekend, because the dirt track thing's a different gig. And he does love it, and he's obviously really good at it.
Yep.
But I think this is what, at this time of his career, this is exactly what he needed, and he, like I said, he went out and got it.
Yeah.
And for him, too, I couldn't imagine how hard it is to jump on a superbike after mid-season,
yeah,
not ever setting on the bike. I know how tough Superbike is whenever, as a factory rider, all off-season testing, and then, not doing it full-time and show up the last three races. That's a tough hill to climb, and, I can't imagine trying to do that. And what he did just kind of got better and better. And I think those last three races, even though it's a different brand of bike, so it's going to take a little bit of time, I think that'll help him, being able to start and know what the tires are going to be like toward the end of the race. JD's always in really good shape. I would say probably one of the fittest, if not the fittest guys out there, but also being able to know where you got tired at, if you did, what was sore. So this off season, you can really do those mentally things and prepare and come back. And he struggled a little bit a couple of times when he first got on the super bike and got stronger, and I think now he kind of knows what those hurdles were when he got back on the super bike. And I think those three races and the times he did the super bike races is really going to help him adjust a lot quicker.
And I think also it's like when you come in late like that, sure, it's tough because you're coming in late, but it's also tough because the other guys have been there all year.
Yeah.
So at least you come in here and there's a lot of guys. Everybody's starting fresh. There's obviously a Jake Gagne knows exactly what he's doing. I don't know how much different his bike is or what he has to learn differently, but the rest of the field, they've made changes or whatever, and they come in all at the same time fresh. Whereas if you come in at the end, those guys have been racing all year and it's even more of a disadvantage.
Yeah.
And then having the off season to test too and be able to really, being teammates with Cam Beaubier, they get along really well. So, when you go testing, you can really slow down and look at stuff, look at data, and really methodically try to figure out a way to get quicker and make those changes. When you come here on a race weekend, you have two 45-minute sessions.
Right.
You don't really have time to methodically look at data and maybe look at throttle traces. You can after each session, but you're kind of like, go, go, go. I got to get laps on a tire. And I think having that off-season testing will be huge for him.
So
we haven't even talked about the Yamaha guys yet.
Well, yeah, I was going to mention Vision Wheel M4 X-Star Suzuki. So earlier today, I saw Richie Escalante. Did you see him, Paul?
No,
you wait till you see him. You too, Roger. He just immediately looks different. I said, did you
just
lose
really
weight?
Lean?
Yeah, I said, did you lose weight? He said, not really, but he said my percentage of body fat is so much lower than it was now. He said he just looked, he kind of looks like a little bit of a different person. And you know, I don't know whether it's because of the foreign language, but I kind of never know exactly what he's thinking, but I just think there's a fire smoldering in him all the time. He's got a lot of drive to win, and he's been around this a long time. So he's tough to read sometimes.
Yeah, and he was in that fourth and fifth, sixth range most of the year. But then at the end, he got that, you know, he got a podium at COTA.
Yeah.
And that's probably given him a lot of confidence. And you go into the offseason thinking, okay, I'll just keep working harder and harder because I'm seeing the results.
Right.
And I think, I honestly think he's going to, well, I don't even know if it'd be a surprise at this point, but I think he'll run at the front. I don't know about Raj.
Yeah, I think the thing was a little bit of inconsistency, and you think this weekend, like, he qualifies on the front row, he's going to be a threat, and then, you know, he gets a bad start, and or something comes up. And I think now this year, if he can put it all together, you know, like the whole weekend, the practice, the qualifiers, and the races, he definitely has the talent, and he has showed a lot of speed at times and just kind of a little bit up and down. And I think now that having, you know, going into this year, how strong he got last year toward, you know, he was really putting those races together and starting to figure it out. And talk about a guy that wants it. And, you know, he's one of those guys that he really wants it and has the talent. And, you know, I think everybody wants to see him do well.
Yeah, yeah, he's a fan favorite for sure. Brandon Posh, I mean, he had that situation where he had a back injury training. Last year, he was kind of still coming back from it. Maybe it's not a factor this year, but I mean, he's certainly got the goods to be racing a superbike. So what's your thought? What are your thoughts on Brandon?
Yeah, he definitely has the potential. And, you know, we talk about JD jumping in midseason. Brandon Posh did the same thing.
Yeah,
you know,
sure did.
No off-season testing, no, you know, those mental reps in the winter to figure out, never raced, you know, actual superbike before. And, you know, coming in, you can't imagine really how tough of a battle that is what Brandon Posh had last year, jumping in, spotting all those guys a couple races, all off-season testing. It's really difficult trying to learn how to beat Jake Gagne on race weekends, and that's when you're getting your seat time. So I think for him, just having this off-season to really sit down with his crew and really look at things like, where do I have to get better at? And I think you'll see that this year.
Yeah, I thought he was a big surprise for me. I thought he'd come in and struggle more than he did, and I thought he'd maybe throw the thing down the road more than he did. And I think he came, was it Laguna he started? And I think he's, you know, he's instantly getting a couple of fifths or whatever. And then from there, he was, you know, there were some DNFs, I think, there. But, I mean, overall, I thought he was a huge surprise.
And I think you have to expect that. You know, there's, when you move into a superbike like that as a rookie, there's going to be everybody that goes to superbike. You're going to have a couple of throwaway races, and that's just part.
Right.
That's just a part of learning.
It's funny with him because, like you said, you know, he joined. He had to come in halfway, but he was also kind of trying out for that team a little bit. I mean, we weren't sure what to expect, and I mean, he probably knew his performance depended on, you know, it depended on him to, you know, be there this year, and he obviously proved that he should be on that team with Richie. So. All right, this is somebody I got to talk to. I guess we'll start with Paul. And Paul, I want to ask you about Cam Peterson. I mean, he had that terrible situation last year. You and I talked about this. I don't know whether he actually did break a bone in his hand in a motocross accident. I haven't really talked to him. Have you talked to him?
No, I saw him from afar and waved, but I didn't talk to him. But I think he's okay. I don't know if that thumb injury was a rumor or what.
Oh, it was a thumb? Okay, I wasn't even sure.
Yeah, and I mean, the main thing for him was he had that wrist injury that very easily could have been like a career ending.
It has for a lot of people.
Yeah, so, you know, and he came back he's coming back. And I mean, he's a question mark, really.
Yeah.
And I just think on his day, he's fast enough to do anything.
Right.
And then on his off days, not so much, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a big year for Cam. You know, he's kind of, Cam Peterson, been on the bike, you know, that team for a couple years now. And, you know, it's going to be a big year for him, I think, this year. And we talk all the time about some people that might overtry, want it too much.
He falls into that.
God, he wants it so bad, you know, and he has the talent. He showed the speed. And talk about a guy that everybody loves and wants to see him put well. I mean, nobody says a bad word about Cam Peterson, and he tries so hard and sometimes maybe a little bit too hard. And I think this year, if he can come in and get back to having fun, and, you know, riding injured is not fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think that just carries on last year, just being injured and trying to nurse it and trying not to make it a big deal, because he's one of those guys that doesn't want to make excuses. So hopefully he can come in this year and be healthy and put it all together.
And I think, as with most of them, I think in the big scheme of things, it doesn't seem like that's important. It's that important, but I just think I think how you get started in the first race of the year can set your mind a little bit. Obviously, if you do well, you can be really confident. And if you don't do so well, you feel like you're already fighting yourself way out of a hole.
Right.
That sometimes gets bigger because you're fighting. But yeah, I think it's going to be fun to watch him. And like you said, I think he deserves it. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, 2 or 3 years ago was sleeping on other riders' floors and
seemed
stuff.
Seemed like it was over.
And he's wanted it, like, you know, he wants it bad. So we'll see.
Yeah. Another rider that, it's funny, he was at Daytona, and in a couple classes, he was at COTA, Bobby Fong. I mean, it's like, oh, well, Bobby Fong's been riding motorcycles. Jake Gagne hasn't been out there. You know, Bobby this year, I mean, he put it on pole last year.
And he's
year,
really so. Excited for the Superbike. I talked to him at COTA. Obviously, the baggers is a big thing for him. But you can tell, like, he's dying to get here to race the Superbike.
Yeah.
Because I think he believes he's got a good bike.
Yeah. It seems like that team does a good job. I mean, he's got, speaking of Cam Peterson, Robbie works with that team. Is Cam's dad, right, is Bobby's crew chief, Robbie. What do you think about Bobby Fong?
Well, I think, you know, for him, knowing what you're doing coming into the season is such a big deal. We talk about some of the other riders jumping in mid-season, and that's what Bobby did. And when he was in Superbike, it was on a Suzuki, and you jump into, you know, class, and it's everything's totally different. It's really difficult, because even when you're training, right? I mean, if you're training for, you know, a race that's 7 or 8 laps, that's a lot different than when you're training for a Superbike race that's, you know, 16 or 17 laps. So I think just being able to know what he's doing, have that off season, him and the team could really, I mean, what he did at pit, being on pole, but and then, you know, crashing the one race, could have been on a podium one of the days, and, you know, something happened and a little penalty. But I think just knowing what he's doing and the team having, you know, those races together, he's definitely one of those guys that has the talent to do it. Well, we've seen him win Superbike races before.
You know, it's funny you think about Bobby and racing in other classes. That's kind of the situation with Max Flinders. I mean, he races in King of the Baggers for Brandon White for Mad Monkey Motorsports. And Brandon White, the owner of that team, loves the fact that Max races in Superbike because he knows it keeps him sharp. To go back and forth like that is kind of tricky, but, you know, Max is always there. He's been with us since the beginning. I mean, you know, each rider has their expectations, I guess. Everybody hopes to win, but, you know, Max is kind of all about improving on his situation every year, and he seems to do that, and he's certainly a fan favorite, so.
Yeah, and you know, a guy that puts in a lot of work, you know, driving the truck and working on the bike all weekend. I mean, that takes a lot of, you know, a lot of heart and a lot of want to. And I, you know, for the couple of years there, he was about a 15th or 16th place guy. And then last year, early on, he started being, you know, top 10 and around that 10th place. And I think that's all, like, all he can expect. And I think, like you said, everybody has their own expectations. And for him, he's getting better. And last year, he was starting to tag on to, you know, that group of riders that was right in front of him.
Yeah, and he got a bagger podium. So,
yep.
That'll keep you going for a while.
So it does help him. Okay, so 3-time defending champion Jake Gagne. I mean, it's Jake Gagne's championship to sort of defend and lose a little bit. You know, you kind of wonder or win. I mean, I don't mean that, but I'm just saying what happens with, you know, he's got a feel like Cameron for sure. You know, they're Baz, Heron. I mean, he's got some competition. He's not the kind of guy that has the mentality or the disposition to get nervous about it. He's so laid back, you never know if he even hears footsteps or not. But the number one's a big target. So, you know, I'm not saying I doubt him. I'm not doubting him at all. But I wonder how he prepares for a season to defend. It's hard to defend.
It's hard to defend, and I think for him, he probably just prepared like he has every other year, you know, and it just seems to work. And I think he knows each year is going to get harder to defend that title because, you know, he was one of those guys that was chasing the championship down. And he knows that, you know, he has a target on his back now, and all these guys were, you know, getting tired of getting beat by him. And I think last year a lot of riders made huge strides, you know, Beaubier, you know, putting up some really good fights. Josh Herron last year as well won a lot of races. And I think, you know, and being on a really good team because, you know, Attack knows that all the other guys are going to improve. They, you know, they can't just sit where they're at and be happy with what he did last year. You got to, you know, make steps every year. And I think for them, they kind of realize that. And for Jake, I don't think he's going to get tight because I don't think he has anything to lose anymore. He's, you know, he's won a lot of championships and now he wants to defend it because he's a competitor. But I think he knows, not saying that he can't, but it's going to be hard. And what I like to see about it is I think we can see a couple riders this year when we get to about mid-season throwing their name in the hat as championship contenders.
Yeah, I think like last year here showed me a lot right away.
Yeah.
Because in race one, he gapped everybody like he's been doing for the last 3 years, and they never have caught him. And Cameron Beaubier made a run at him, caught him, passed him, and actually barely, you know, beat him, but barely beat him. So that showed me, A, that Jake could be beaten, and B, that Cameron was, you know, what we thought he was going to be anyway. I mean, he was for real, and he started for real, and he kept that pressure on until he got hurt. But I, from talking to Jake, it's like he actually seems happier having that battle and being able to race, and yeah, he likes the racing part of it. And I think he enjoyed racing with Cameron and whoever else got up there more so than he did the years when he would just run away.
And I think for Cam and Jake, I think they got a little bit of a rivalry down. I mean, they don't really say it, but you can tell they want to beat the other one.
Yeah, they're both thinking of the other one more than they're thinking of the other guy.
Yeah.
Like he goes to sleep at night at a race thinking of Cameron, and Cameron probably does the same with Jake.
Yeah. You know, Raj, what's that like when, you know, I remember distinctly last year thinking, oh, it's another one of those runaways with Jake, and then here comes Cameron, and it's like, I don't even know. It took a matter of laps, but he caught up. When you're pretty far behind the leader or somebody you're trying to pass, and what do? Just kind of get in your mindset, it's, I can't do it in one lap, but if I just keep going quicker every lap, I'm going to catch up to the guy. And do you feel it happening? And your pit board tells you that too? I mean, how does that work?
Well, you know, honestly, all the riders, when somebody's in front of you, you're kind of spotting them. You know, like, where are they at when I come out of turn one? Can I see them at the top of the hill? Or out of turn seven, getting on the back straightaway? You kind of know when you come out of there how far he was in front of you. And you kind of spot each other in a couple spots. And you start seeing that you're, you know, I'm getting closer. And you know, and you got your pit board and you see how many laps are left and you can kind of figure out, am I catching him enough to at this pace or do I need to pick it up? And I think for Cam Beaubier, with the experience he has, he knew that he was just chipping away and was there right at the end. But if that guy's still, you know, if you're giving 100% and he's still pulling away, and you know, it's not your day.
Right. And if you're the guy in front and you're giving 100% and you see that guy gaining, there's not much, you know, and Jake wasn't used to that.
Yeah, you know,
so
for sure.
I thought it was an interesting race. But
so, Roger, there's something I got to ask you about. Roger just told us he's got a couple of pygmy goats. They're very young. So they're not only pygmy goats, but they're pygmy goats because they're baby pygmy goats. But the thing I remember, there was a rider a few years ago who was at your house, and he tried to ride one of your miniature horses. It was Josh Herron. And
it was a long, long, long.
What was a long time ago. What was he doing?
We were young.
I mean, are those supposed to be ridden?
No, they weren't. That was, I don't think he would today. That was a good time.
Didn't he get bucked off a thing or whatever?
I can't remember. It was too long ago. And some stories you just can't always tell.
Well, let's not tell that story about Josh Herron, but let's kind of talk about him. I mean, he's married now. He's got a child. He's winning races. He's on a great team. He's got a great bunch of guys behind him. He's on an arguably one of the best bikes out there. He knows the tracks. He's absolutely a veteran. You never know what you're going to get out of Josh Herron, though. He's not like Jake in that, you know, he just is like Mr. Consistent all the time. Can he put together a championship season and just, you know, beat everybody?
I think last year, Josh, that was the best season I've seen out of him. You know, just even though he is a Superbike champ and won other titles, but the way he was able to win those races by pulling away. And then, you know, you go back to Road America when PJ was chasing him down and they're having to break the race lap record each lap to pull away. And for Josh, you know, we used to always kind of say he can follow, but he couldn't lead. And last year, that's done.
Yeah.
I mean, he was able to lead from the front, put in tons of laps. It used to be if he struggled on Friday, mm-hmm. he, you know, you could tell the weekend was going to be, you know, maybe not great. It just seemed like he kept his head cool when things weren't right on Friday. It was just a huge, huge, you know, just like everything you work on sometimes finally comes together. And it's like everything really came together for Josh last year, you know, and was so fast and consistent. And he goes into this year, you know, kind of starting with the setup that he finished with the previous year. And so I believe every race weekend, he's going to start out a lot quicker on Fridays, because a lot of Friday mornings last year, he was getting the gearing dialed in, getting comfortable. He hasn't rode a Ducati Superbike at those tracks before. So I think this year is going to be, that's going to help him. And last year, I thought he had a huge year, and that was the best I've seen him ride personally.
I think in the past, his seasons have always been defined by his bad races.
Yeah.
Because he always wins one or two a year, but then his bad races can just be really bad.
Yeah.
And I think last year, his bad races now are, you know, fourth or something instead of seventh.
Yeah, he's always a factor. It's funny with him because, I mean, he used to say, like, you know, he doesn't really like to qualify. He does, you know, he just likes to race against people.
He likes to race.
Yeah. And I used to think he likes to race so much he would race against people that weren't maybe in the lead.
Oh, and he'll tell you that, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
He'll get focused into, like, a fired up battle with some guy over fourth. And meanwhile, the other three guys are gone because he's so busy with that guy, you know. And he's actually fast enough that he could have gone with the other guys. But he'll tell you that.
And last year, you talked about used to not really care for qualifying. Last year at the Ridge, he went out and was pushing so hard to stay on pole because he wanted to start on pole so bad he totaled a bike.
Yeah,
and
right.
It just he shows sure did. You know, he's like wanting to be good in practice, wanting to be good in qualifying, and you know, obviously always wants to be good in the races. And just last year was a huge year, I thought, for him.
Yeah.
He's always funny to me because he's easily distracted, I think. You know what I mean? Like, he's always the one that says, like, oh yeah, I saw Fred in the stand waving to me or whatever, when nobody else even knows nobody looks there, right?
Yeah.
But I think that's what the fans love him, because he's just kind of a regular kid. He's not a kid anymore, but he's always seems like a kid.
Yeah, he does. I mean, it just proves that we just don't know what's going to happen this year. I mean, it could be a situation where Jake does what he's done before, or it could be a situation where Cameron does what he's done before, or it's Herron. You know, there's so many riders that you think about, you know, that could come up, you know, the Team Hammer guys, the M4 guys. I mean, there's so much that's unknown, and we'll find out a little bit more about it this weekend. It's a long season, though, and every track's different. The bikes have advantages at different tracks. So, I mean, there's just so many unknowns that I think that for sure this is going to be an awesome season. And it's our 10th season for Moto America, which is pretty cool. And we're so glad to have Paul, our communications manager, continuing to do his magic. And our man, Roger.
Our Live Plus man.
Yeah, who's now got a different person in the booth with him. How's that going?
It's going good. It's a new position for Jamie, and she's figuring it out. And I think we're going to get better. You know, she's used to being on pit lane, and now she's in the booth, and it's a lot different. And for her, because I've did pit lane stuff before, and then you know, go to the booth, and not only being in the booth, but kind of being the leader of the show. And so it's really different for her, and it's hard to explain how really hard it is unless you kind of, you know, I haven't been in her spot. But I know how hard it would be if they told me I was in that spot.
Well,
this weekend.
I was going to ask you that. Yeah. Would you ever want it, or could you do play-by-play? I'm sure you could, but it's different, isn't it?
I don't know. It is. It's a lot different. You know, I think that I kind of wish everybody would have to do it one time, and then they would complain a lot less.
Right. It would shut down Facebook.
Yeah, because they used to complain a lot about like NFL guy commentators. And then when I got in a booth, I was like, yo, this is all not right. Easy.
And you talk all day.
Especially
I mean, I know Sean could do that, but there's no way I could sit in there and talk all day.
And I'm not a talker either. I tell my buddies what I do. They're like, don't you have to talk for that job?
It's funny about Roger Hayden. He said 5 words his entire racing career.
Now he's zillions of words a day.
But you do a good job with it. It just came out, and it's just you live the whole thing. And you, I know you're a student of it because, like you said, you love NFL. But I know you watch those guys, and you know. See, I'm not a big Tony Romo fan, but you probably think, well, it's pretty hard what he's doing. But
he does a good job. He knows, you know, what they're going to do next, which always amazes me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's wrap this up. Let's hope this season's as good as we all think it is.
Yeah.
But I think we'll be off to a good start here this weekend.
Yeah, we'll find out soon. So make sure you watch us this weekend from Michelin Raceway, Road Atlanta. Thanks, guys.